This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
That is the first time that I've heard that on Spouting Off, our new introduction. I have to thank my friend Wolf, and that's how he likes to be known. Sometimes he likes to be known as Wiley Fox. You know, he likes to be anonymous. You know how those backstage people are. He put that together for me, and I loved it. I just love it. It's great. And I got to thank Wiley Fox for that. He's a perfectionist. And in fact, that's what we're going to talk about here in this first segment here. He's a perfectionist. And so I just want to give him a shout out for that. You'll be hearing that at the beginning of every show because we redid it. And I don't know. I just love Carmen. I think it's great. And, you know, you got to deal with rights and all of that. And we are clear on that one. I am thrilled to be with you on Spouting Off at our new time, our new live time, which is Friday, every Friday at noon Mountain Time, 2 p.m. Eastern. And you will be hearing podcasts at various times during the day. And I also want to welcome K-Star Talk Radio Network, K-Star Talk Radio Network, wonderful new partner in grabbing our show Spouting Off and putting it on over the weekend, which is sort of one of the main reasons we decided to change our days so that we could provide to you the very latest and up-to-date news and commentary here on Spouting Off. And so I get to watch and consume news all week. And of course, you know, I do interviews around the country in real time. But this show you can listen to live on Fridays. And we want to welcome also K-Star for carrying our show live. But if you missed it, you can catch the podcast on their network. I believe it is 9 a.m. Eastern on Saturdays and noon on Sundays. So I'm jazzed about that. Today, we're going to feature more of those CPAC interviews that I did last weekend. I had a roommate, and unfortunately, I can't have her on yet because she's flying right now. But she was hilarious, and we had such a good time at CPAC last weekend. And one of the things she said was, because she travels a whole lot, she's a doctor of infectious diseases. She wrote the foreword of my book, Fat Lash. There's another shameless plug. Sorry about that. And she called it the Gaylord Hotel and Convention Center and Jail. And the reason it was like that, and it was a wonderful, wonderful weekend, was the Gaylord is such a big, massive place that once you get in, you really don't get out without either an Uber or a taxi. Yeah, but there were a couple of places across the street, but it was freezing. And so, you know, you just kind of stay in mostly. I had a great time broadcasting from Radio Row there. And so you will get a chance to listen to some of these great interviews. The other great partner that I've acquired, there are more and more because, I don't know, when you're a content creator and people love conservative ideas and thought, you know, they want to get in on that content. So thank you. Thank you to Main Street Radio Network, which is another network that I work with. They do terrestrial and podcasting, and I often fill in for the Alan Nathan show over there at Main Street Radio Network. And so that was who invited me to go sit on Radio Row. And it was just a blast. I mean, everything from you could just go up and down the aisle and see people doing talk radio. So it's a talk radio host's dream. Hopefully the people there, they were jazzed. That was the thing that came across more than anything else. People were jazzed to be there to support the president of the United States, who has been so much on his own, with the exception of the people that brung him to the dance. And that's you and me. We're the ones that are going to be on the front lines of this election season. So of all the things I could talk about, and I got a list I could talk for 4 hours more, I came up with this article that I wanted to share with you, talk with you about, because, you know, it's not something that you see very often. But when you look online and you see, try to consume, like I say, a lot of news, this piece really, really, I thought, solidified, if you will, what we are dealing with here. I don't care who the Democrat candidate is going to be. Everybody's talking about it. I am talking about it too. The Bernie versus Biden, you know, it doesn't matter who the candidate's going to be, but hopefully and certainly we will be talking about the difference between socialism and capitalism. And that was the theme of last weekend and the great CPAC, Conservative Political Action Committee, because their theme was socialism versus America, or maybe it was America versus socialism, which is something that our founders, any form of tyranny, authoritarianism, our great veterans have fought and died for this country to remain free, and here we are being attacked from within. I know I talk about it a lot, but that's because to me, that's the core issue that we are dealing with now. I just never thought I'd live to see it. So I came across this piece called How to Be Mediocre and Be Happy with Yourself. It's from BBC News. And it talks about Europeans, and that's the article. It bears repeating. And I've printed it out here. How to be mediocre and be happy with yourself. Here's the opening line. In the novel Catch-22, the author Joseph Heller famously wrote, "Some men are born mediocre, some men achieve mediocrity, and some men have mediocrity thrust upon them." A takeoff on Shakespeare. And so it goes on to ask the question, oh gosh, you know, here, let's be mediocre here and not turn off our cell phone. I should get docked for that. My boss will be furious that I didn't turn off my cell phone, but there you go. So the article goes on to ask the question, so what's wrong with settling for mediocrity? And these two scientists came up with something called the art of caconomics. God knows what caconomics is. It appears to have something to do with, so here's what they did. They watched how incompetent, ridiculous, low quality, when they went to a conference, and they came up with the idea that it was backlash, because you know I wrote the book Fatlash. It appears to have something to do with people shunning a perceived tyranny of excellence. And so sometimes we conspire consciously or unconsciously to achieve the lowest possible outcome. You know, from a psychological perspective, that could be true. But they're elevating mediocrity. They are championing and cheering mediocrity. And here's what they told the New York Magazine. At home, his family used ordinary. Oh, yes. Forgive me. I've got the wrong thing here. When I say I'm mediocre, I am, she poses. This was one of the scientists of this article, and you can find it at the BBC. Maybe I'll post it on my Facebook page. Probably will. So you can read it there. It's easier. All you got to do is connect with me at Facebook, and I'll post this article that we're discussing right now. Because we don't have a whole lot of time, our time is short because we got a lot to do today. Posing the question in a recent blog, what if I am mediocre and choose to be at peace with that? I love to learn, but I'm not the most brilliant person. I like to write, but that doesn't mean I'm the greatest writer. I'm just kind of plain. One more thing I got to read you. The messages are always do more, be more, sacrifice sleep for productivity. Better is better. Rush, rush, rush. It just destroys me. I feel like that isn't life and I don't want it and I can't even begin to keep up. So many of us just want to get off that hamster wheel and just breathe. But many of us never do. For some, sheer hard work may transform that wheel into a ladder, but what if it doesn't? What if all that hard work goes to waste? That's what they are championing. So I got to thinking about this. I agree that as an individual, I used to joke that one should go bowling about every 8 years so you can be mediocre at something and not care. And I believe that, but that's an individual choice. This article endeavors, in my opinion, to institutionalize mediocrity. Why? Because that is the bulwark, if you will, kind of a paradox, of socialism. Because accepting failure and trying again to do better is just not part of the socialist mindset. Do less, be incompetent. It's okay. In fact, it's preferable. That's what's behind the so-called snowflake syndrome. It isn't that I'm screwing up and screwing off and I don't care. It's that I'm going to celebrate my mediocrity, and if you give me a hard time for it, it's your fault. It's designed to depress excellence. That's the stuff of socialism, because collective mediocrity is what they want. Well, I'm here to tell you, and I got to wrap it up, I 100% reject that, because it's valuable and builds character to realize that you may not be the best, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that we got to strive for mediocrity. That's my point. Listen, I got to go. When we come back, we're going to have lots of great interviews that I was able to flag down at CPAC. And CPAC isn't mediocre. It's excellent. So this is Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off. And we will be right back after this. Don't go away.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N, and Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline, and I'm just so thrilled to be here at CPAC. All I got to do is, like, you just walk right down and people come up in front of your microphone. And boy, was it fun to see Nick Adams, who I met several years ago when I was singing the national anthem, and we just sort of connected, you and I, and I've known you ever since. And since then, I don't know if I've known you ever since, but I've seen you in places. And since then, he has been a Fox News commentator. He has written written a book, but he has a new book out called Trump and Churchill, Defenders of Western Civilization. Could not agree more. Nick Adams, welcome to Spouting Off.
Karen Cataline, it's an absolute delight to be here with you to spout off and to lots of other things.
So I know. It's great and you even pronounced my last name correctly.
Oh, well, that's one
rhymes
of my,
with spleen.
I like it. That's one of my, I'll be venting my spleen while I'm spouting off.
Good. And so I'd like you to vent your spleen about this new book. Now, why should anybody who believes that, let's see, Trump is mentally ill, he is a corrupt con artist, you know, the whole thing, and many of these things are totally contradictory that they've accused him of. Why should people look at that and say, what do you mean he's like Churchill?
Well, this book defies gravity. If you begin it, you can't put it down. It's an excellent book. It's a must-read for the 2020 election. I've been a lifelong Sir Winston Churchill fan. I've been a lifelong Donald Trump fan. I read The Art of the Deal when I was 12 years old.
You're kidding.
I was on the Trump train from the 16th of June 2015 when he rode down the escalator.
Right.
Both men all of my life have inspired me and have been role models to which I have often looked to. And so much has been written about this president. I think more has been written about President Trump than any other president in history. But nobody has really taken a historical perspective, which is what I've tried to do with Trump and Churchill, Defenders of Western Civilization. And the parallels, Karen, between the times, the men,
yes,
their personalities, the obstacles they faced, the way they approached overcoming those obstacles, are really quite eerie. Now, on the surface, both are profoundly different.
Mm-hmm.
One was 5'6" and loved to have a drink.
And he wasn't Michael Bloomberg.
One was 6'3" and a teetotaler.
Mm-hmm.
One was famously loved to nap in his pajamas in the afternoon. The other one barely sleeps. One began his career by introducing tariffs. The other by opposing tariffs. Lots of differences. But when you drill a little bit deeper, it's incredible how similar they are.
Uh-huh.
Both loved their country.
Uh-huh.
Both were alpha males. Both politically incorrect. Both with an unshakable confidence in their abilities, a preparedness to go it alone, to have no regard for the people around them that they thought were incorrect. Genius and plod, I think, are the two things that really unite Donald Trump and Sir Winston Churchill. Both experienced failures, both had things that didn't work out, but ultimately both rose in an occasion that is seminal for both of their countries. And
beautiful.
So Winston Churchill was able to conquer Nazi tyranny and the Axis powers. President Trump's conquering the swamp, climate change, political correctness,
socialism,
multiculturalism,
in America,
globalism, socialism.
Well, he beat the Bush machine, and then he beat the Clinton machine, and then he's beating the congressional machine, right and left.
Well, and that's the other thing, Karen, that these two have got in common. I mean, so many people in their own party can't stand them.
Yeah.
I mean, Churchill was reviled by many in his own party, and the same with Donald Trump. And yet both of them are these incredible leaders that will be remembered for their unorthodox approach to foreign and domestic affairs that revitalized their nations, refreshed their nations, renewed their nations.
Nick, I'm going to ask you a cliche question, but it really matters because I love this topic. I really do. And that is, do you think times make the man or man the
maketh
man
the
makes
time.
The time?
That's a wonderful question, Karen Cataline, and one that I would expect from someone with a brain the size of a small planet like yours. And it's indeed a vexing question. I mean,
yes,
it's difficult,
it is.
Difficult to know. Look, I think that
it's
both...
It's an opinion, a subjective opinion.
Yeah,
but
both are going to contribute. I mean, obviously, a time will shape a man, a time will make a man ready in ways that he might not even know that he is ready for. But I think the other incredible thing with this is if you look at both of them, and I realize this researching Trump and Churchill, defenders of Western civilization, from almost the time that they were born, everything they did prepared them for the moment that they would ultimately confront.
You're going to talk about global warming?
Yes, about climate change.
I love it. Where are you from?
From Germany, Münster. Yeah, in North Rhine-Westphalia.
You're not wearing a braid or anything.
No, I'm not. I thought that might be too provocative.
Okay, here, put your headphones on. Yes, too provocative. I love it. Oh, that's a great guess. Great guess.
Thank you so much.
Okay, 5, 4, 3. Welcome back to Spouting Off, Karen Cataline. I'm having such a blast here at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee. And we are here on Radio Row, and I'm getting all kinds of wonderful people to sit down and chat with us here on Spouting Off. And what a wonderful guest I have next, Naomi Seibt, digital media specialist for the Heartland Institute and Germany-based YouTube personality who collaborates with them, the Heartland Institute, on videos about climate change. And here's this young woman. How are you? And welcome to Spouting Off, Naomi. How old are you?
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm 19 years old.
You're 19. With all respect, you do look younger. I bet you get that.
I know. I do get that a lot.
You do get that a lot. You have this wonderful British accent. Now, can you do an imitation of some other person who's from, Norway? Can you say, "How dare you?"
Well, the media wants to paint me as this anti-Greta, but I do not actually label myself the anti-Greta because I think it's more important to see me as myself, as Naomi Seibt, as an individual, because I actually think it's wrong that we look at Greta as the symbol for climate change, and we should instead start seeing her as what she really is, a young girl, an individual. And I don't want to be labeled anti-anything. I'm not anti what she has to say. I'm anti-panic, I would say. But I'm pro-free speech.
Said.
I'm pro-sensible environmentalism. And being a scientific skeptic, really looking into those topics instead of just spreading fear about nothing.
So wonderful. So, Naomi, let's dive right in. And tell me where people who are the climate change alarmists are wrong. Tell us, those of us who are not scientifically inclined like yours truly, what do we need to know and what are you telling us that the climate alarmists are not telling us?
Well, you can't really be wrong about something if you don't even know what you're talking about in the first place. And that's the main problem. Whenever I talk to people on the other side, usually what I get from them is, they don't really know anything about the science, but there's this consensus out there and everybody seems to agree that climate change is real and climate change is man-made and CO2 emissions are destroying the planet. But whenever I challenge them on their true beliefs and what's behind all of this, what makes you think that CO2 emissions are really having such a detrimental effect on the climate? I don't really get an answer. Like I said, it's just this consensus that's out there, which is based on a study that's been heavily misconstrued. And so I would love to be able to discuss with people and debate people on those topics, even on the science. But so far, I haven't had any success.
You haven't, huh?
No. Well, because most of them just want to shut me down because they don't have any arguments.
They don't have an argument.
Yeah,
that is
the problem.
True. Do you talk on college campuses at all? And have you ducked the pies that they throw in people's faces if you say something they disagree with?
I would love to talk to younger people on college campuses and all that, but this is the first time in the U.S. actually. And
welcome.
Thank you.
We
so
need
much.
You.
Thank you. And no, so far I've not done that much public speaking, to be honest. I would love to, though.
Well, we need that. And this is the place to meet people and to find out and to get on college campuses. There's one called College Campus Reform. I just had them on as a guest a little while ago. And they would probably love to have you. When you have had success, and there are people that are really true believers about climate change, what was What has been something you've said to them that made them ask that very first question? I'm always fascinated about what works.
Asking them questions. Like, for example, what even is the ideal global mean surface temperature? Because if we don't answer that question, we don't really have a basis from which we can build our next arguments about how destructive is climate change really.
Yeah.
And then what makes you think that CO2 emissions are so destructive? What effect mm-hmm. does the sun have on the climate? Isn't the effect that the sun has on the climate way bigger than the effect that man-made CO2 emissions can have? And also, is man-made CO2 emissions make up just a fraction, a tiny fraction of the greenhouse gases in the air? Most people don't seem to know that. The majority is water vapor. And so water in all of its phases is a way more significant factor when it comes to climate change as well.
How do you come by all this knowledge that you have in science?
Oh, thank you.
What's your background?
I've always really loved science, and I took part in many science competitions in middle school and quite successfully so. And then in high school, I became very politically interested as well, and I started to become very fascinated with the values of libertarianism, freedom of speech and all that. And once climate change became so popular, I could finally unite those two values, political interests, political philosophy and science. And so I started looking into it. I read many studies, looked up scientists online, Nir Shaviv, Henrik Svensmark, Susan Crockford. I can mention lots of people whom I really look up to. And I really looked into it, and I continue to do my research every single day.
Yeah, it doesn't communicate for a lot of people, except for conservatives, when you tell them that it's really just a hoax for socialism.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N, and Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at
Well, it's wonderful to have you, Naomi. And how can people reach you and follow you? Do you do YouTube videos?
Yes, I've got my own YouTube channel, and that's how it all started, basically. My YouTube channel is just my normal name, Naomi Zeibt. My last name is spelled S-E-I-B-T, which is quite difficult for most Americans. And I'm also on Twitter now, at Zeibt Naomi, so it's just my name.
At Zeibt Naomi.
Yes.
And you pronounce it Zeibt, but it's with an S.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. I got to ask you one other question.
Go ahead.
Are you residing in Germany now? You're just visiting here, or are you living in America now?
I still live at home with my mother, who's basically my best friend in Germany.
How lovely.
Yeah, we'll see about the future. I don't know. I might move to the U.S.
Can you say just very briefly, since we're almost out of time, what are you seeing in changes as far as the mass immigration in Germany and Mother Merkel and all that? I'm very concerned.
So am I. Unfortunately, there are no real changes, and it's becoming worse every day, basically. We're letting in more uncontrolled migrants. Once again, I just read an article about it yesterday. So, yes, I do think that's quite concerning.
Yes. As a Jewish conservative, it scares me that they are importing another Holocaust while claiming that they're so against it. And I thank you so much for your voice, for your work, and I hope you become an American.
Thank you so much.
Take care. We'll be right back at Spouting Off, this very special edition of Spouting Off here at CPAC in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Stay tuned. We'll have more right after this. Karen Cataline, back with you. You can hear the noise and the excitement. This is CPAC, and we're doing a special edition of Spouting Off here from Washington, D.C. You can hear the crowd noise, and we're on Radio Row. And I'm delighted. This isn't just a friend of Spouting Off. This is a friend of Karen Cataline, and from Colorado. Boy, Denver, the whole state of Colorado is well represented here.
Yes, they
are. At CPAC. I see Coloradans everywhere. You know why? Because Colorado is in grave danger, and that's gotten a lot of us out.
The warriors are out.
We are out. So Ted Harvey, I just gotta read.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Ted Harvey, former congressman, head of committee to defend.
Not congressman, former state senator.
I'm just, you know, why don't you host and I'll guest. He served as White House staffer under President Ronald Reagan. I didn't know you were that old.
I am.
District office manager for Congressman Joel Heffley, who I remember, gave me money for my campaign in 2002 in Colorado's House of Representatives, and he was a Colorado delegate at the Colorado Convention. But what's really amazing, he's making major noise with the Committee to Defend the President PAC. He just got under the skin of Barack Obama, and we're going to, first of all, welcome to Spouting Off, Ted Harvey.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Good morning. Tell us what happened and how you happened to get Barack Obama out of his lair in Washington, D.C., two blocks from the White House.
Well, you know, it's interesting that Obama has not been involved in this primary at all, hasn't taken a position in support of his former vice president, close friend. He mm-hmm. said it was the best decision he ever made to bring Biden on as his vice president.
But he doesn't want to endorse
him. And so, you know, it's curious that he hasn't. And so my PAC, the Committee to Defend the President, ran a commercial in South Carolina where a huge block of the Democrat voting constituency is African American, and everybody is pandering to get their vote. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the Democrat primary is, but particularly Biden is, and hoping that that will be what gets him across the finish line, is getting the African American vote. So we ran a commercial and had in it Obama reading from his book. What was it called?
The Audacity of Hope.
No, about his father. About his Dreams of My Father.
Dreams of My Father.
Right. And in that book, he talks about how there was a barber who told him the story about how Democrat candidates are always pandering for the African-American vote and promising them the moon. But once they get their vote, they don't do anything to help the African-American community. And then we pointed out Biden's horrific record on civil rights, whether it is supporting segregationists, whether it's being the sponsor of the bill that, with criminal justice bill that put a lot of African Americans behind bars in disproportional numbers, and that hit a nerve with the former president, and nobody can get him out to endorse or say anything, literally open his mouth about this primary, but suddenly our little pack hit a nerve with the former vice president, or former president, and he and his attorneys sent out a message to the world: we're going to bring this radio, this TV commercial down, and ask all of the TV stations to not air it because it's full of lies. And he didn't say what the lies were, because there wasn't any lies. It was him.
You
know, it was
his
book.
You're telling me the story, Ted. I can see how grim and sad you are about all this.
I was just trying to educate the voters about Biden's...
The smile belies differently.
About Biden's horrific record on civil rights.
Which
and
it is.
It is. And Obama took offense at me telling the truth. And it's interesting because not one TV station has taken down the TV ad. We didn't get the cease and desist letter from the attorneys to our attorney until about 5 minutes before I came on the air. So this has been going on for 48 hours.
Yeah.
And they slow walked getting us. I mean, as you said, their office is just down the street from our office.
That's true.
And it's been 48 hours. They know we're not going to bring it down. There's nothing wrong or inappropriate in that ad. And that's why the
you're using his actual words, right?
Yes.
You're playing it. Isn't it interesting how the left always wants to?
Well, what's interesting is that he even got involved, because we spent maybe $400,000 on this ad in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It may have seen, how many 100,000 viewers maybe have seen it.
And that bothered him a lot.
And now millions of people have seen it. They've seen it all across the world. I pulled up an article this morning from the BBC that had a pretty good article about it.
That's called leveraging your investment.
Yes, it is.
I love it.
So, with a straight face, I just want to educate the voters about Joe Biden's
Now, that leads me to believe to ask you this question, Ted Harvey, longtime friend and fellow Coloradan. Do you make any decisions out front who you think might be best for us to run against so that you don't necessarily go after that person? And if you did have any druthers, who would you like Trump to run against?
Well, I can tell you who I think it will be, want it to be. I think it'll be Bloomberg. I said that from the day he entered the race. I thought Bloomberg would win the nomination. I think the entire field will be gone after tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think there's any way Klobuchar can continue. I don't think there's any way Buttigieg can continue. I think if Biden doesn't win tomorrow, there's no way he can go forward. I think what you will be left with Bloomberg and Bernie.
Bernie and Bloomberg.
And
two leftist Jews. Come on now. Two leftist self-hating Jews. Particularly,
there's so
Bernie.
There's so many jabs I want to take at you on that. I'm allowed to say it. I can say it to you in private, my dear Jewish friend, but I won't say it on the air.
Hey, there's nothing you can say I haven't already heard.
You and I have been fighting this fight on behalf of freedom together for long time. But, it does blow me away that the Jewish community is not radically supporting Donald Trump.
Well, there are more Jews here today.
After everything he has done.
But there are more Jews here today than ever before. I'm going to a Shabbos dinner that is sold out tonight.
Really?
At CPAC.
Praise
Mark
God.
Levin, Baruch Hashem, I'll teach you that, Baruch Hashem. Mark Levin is the speaker tonight.
You're not?
No, they didn't ask me. If they would, it would, What I was going to say is, you can hear the sound of arms breaking right now in Washington, D.C. of Amy Klobuchar and Elizabeth Warren, all those people. And just for the record, I don't think any of them even remotely can hold a candle to Donald Trump as long as we can get a handle on voter fraud. Because if the election were even remotely fair, Trump would win in a landslide. The problem is we've seen how Democrats can cheat. You think they're going to suddenly stop cheating? No. Ted Harvey, I got 1 minute. How can people give money to you so you can do more things to put leftists' hair on fire?
Continue to create havoc.
I love it.
Thank you for that opportunity. Go onto our website, committeetodefendthepresident.com. You can see the commercials that we're running around the country.
He's doing a fabulous job.
All of the havoc that we are creating, and you can click on the donation button and donate to our PAC. We have 500,000 followers that give us $20 a day.
Give
them
money,
month,
folks.
So.
He puts it to good use. He leverages your investments.
That's exactly right. And we are fighting the Democrats left and right, and we are defending this president like
right,
no other group
right.
out there.
I'm telling you, they are doing a wonderful job. And thank you for when you post one of my pieces. I don't think Bloomberg has a chance either, but that's beside the point. We got to fight like we're afraid to lose, like we
and
may lose.
We post your pieces on our Facebook page, Committee to Defend the President Facebook page. We have about 920,000 followers. I'm trying to get to a million, so all your listeners
please.
Need to go there and get
and,
us there.
And my piece on Bloomberg is trending in places.
Send it
so
to me, and we'll get it up.
I will send it to you. Welcome to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and I am delighted to be here live with a special edition of Spouting Off from CPAC. That is the Conservative Political Action Committee, and boy is it, you can hear in the background, there's noise, there's crowds, there's President Donald Trump will be here, and I'll be giving a commentary about that. So we have some special guests to offer to you and to share. Boy, you can just flag them right down off Radio Row, they're everywhere. So this is a special treat, and thanks right up front to Main Street Radio Network, that's www.mainstreetradionetwork, who I am here as a fill-in and a helper to Main Street Radio. And so by the auspices of them, I get to do a couple of extra special episodes at CPAC for Spouting Off. My very first guest right off the bat is Dylan Stevenson, who is, you're going to love this. This is, he is a candidate for U.S. House of Representatives in New York. And guess who he is challenging? The wonderful, the venerable, the full of charisma, Jerry Nadler. So thank you for joining us live here, Dylan Stevenson. Welcome to CPAC. Welcome to Spouting Off.
Well, Karen, thank you very much for having me. I think the pleasure is all mine.
Oh, and you can hear that marvelous British accent. See, you taught us how to speak, and we screwed it all up.
I disagree. You could argue you improved it, perhaps. I remember reading that the American accent is closer to what Shakespeare would have spoken on account of the fact that many people from that part of the country came to the United States in the early days of the colonies.
So. Well, maybe after he had a few beers. I don't know.
A couple of drinks, and then there you go.
Yeah, so before we get into your campaign, what is this your first time at CPAC?
This actually is.
I
studied at the University of Notre Dame, and I was the vice president of the College Republicans there. And as part of that, we helped other people go to CPAC, and we set up groups, but I'd never actually been myself. And so to be able to come for the first time as a candidate, not a student or a visitor, is a remarkable thing to be able to do, and it's been an absolute pleasure so far.
That is so great. I get a special tickle out of the fact that a Brit comes here and appreciates freedom, since we had a fight for freedom against you guys.
Yeah. perhaps unsurprisingly, it's not taught that much in British schools.
We're trying to get them to teach a little freedom here in our schools as well.
Frankly, we could use it.
Yes.
But I forget who said it, but Washington fought King George III, but Eisenhower fought with Winston Churchill.
There you go.
And so, you have that switch over the course of a couple hundred years realized actually we're on the same side here. A bickering over taxes is not enough to undermine what I consider the most important alliance in the world, without a doubt.
Oh, you speak so beautifully.
Oh, thank you very much.
And we have our own little, not so little Winston Churchill these days fighting everybody. His name is Donald Trump.
He's certainly fighting the good fight on our behalf.
Yes. Behalf. I love it. So tell us about your campaign.
Sure.
And why did you decide to challenge I keep calling him the venerable Jerry Nadler.
Our dear friend in Washington.
Nattering Nadler.
So for those of you who can't see me, I'm 25 years old. I'm a millennial through and through.
A strapping young man he is.
Why, shucks, thank you. but I'm deeply concerned about the fact that so many in my generation are turning towards socialism. And that's not hyperbole. We actually have data to back that up. A YouGov poll from last year shows that 50% of millennials have a more favorable view of socialism than of capitalism. 73% of millennials say they'd be open to voting for a socialist. Now, anyone who studied history or current affairs, whether you're looking at the Soviet Union or China or Venezuela or Cambodia or Cuba, knows damn well how bad an idea that is. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, whether it's our school systems, our media, something has failed there. And so what I want to do is use this platform, not just to make the case for conservatism against socialism, but hopefully to use this office as a springboard for dealing with the problems that are driving people towards socialism. And this is really where Jerry Nadler comes in. Unfortunately, he's been in Congress since 1992. And to put that into perspective, I was born in 1994. He's been there a damn long time. And while he's been there, rent in New York has skyrocketed, making it harder for people to get on the housing, on the property ladder. Fewer people are, there are 70,000 homeless New Yorkers right now, 400,000 living in NYCHA. Student debt is affecting 44 million Americans. Healthcare costs are rising, all while Jerry Nadler has been in Congress, had the reins of power in his hands. He has failed to address these problems, and so we need to get him out, have a new generation in new blood who are going to deal with the problems that are driving people towards socialism.
I love your passion. You sound like Nigel Farage.
I met him yesterday. I had a fanboy moment.
Great?
Oh,
it was fanboy moment.
Oh, it was wild. I sent that picture to my mother. She loved it.
Well, and so here's the thing, as a, not a millennial, several generations past the millennial.
Yeah.
So I have one.
Oh.
I want to ask you if you have sound bites and memes. I have only a couple. I'm collecting them in order to explain. Charlie Kirk's socialism sucks.
Yes.
I mean, in two words.
Yeah.
Mine is, ask yourself why there's cheese in the mousetrap.
Oh, that's a good one.
Isn't that a good
one?
That's
a good one. That's
Instead of getting way down deep, and then you can also say, there's a reason. You understand the Nigerian businessman who wants to give you $10 million, and you delete that email?
Yeah.
How come you still buy into the lie of socialism?
Yeah.
Same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. In the subject of memes, we are, my team and I are preparing for meme warfare. We have a photo bank full of templates that we're working on putting out. That's coming. We're a very new campaign, so we're trying to get the thing. We've just got the website up. We've got the WinRed up. We've got our social media up. We just got verified on Twitter yesterday.
Wonderful.
We're doing.
Wait till they take you off.
Yeah. Well,
you will have arrived then.
Once they shadow ban me, I know I've made it.
Oh, that's my goal in life.
Once that's the sort of conservative badge of honor.
That's right.
So we'll have all that kind of up and running. But at the moment, it's kind of getting the infrastructure in place and making sure that we're in a position to really make the case and have the platform in the first place.
So do you have a meme or a short little slogan, because we can never have too many of them.
The morally woke, intellectually broke, something like that could work.
So we've got that.
Thank you. Ours is very sort of picture based. So you'll see them on our social media coming.
Yeah,
up.
And socialists wanted to redistribute everyone else's wealth except their own.
Yeah. Well, it's socialism for the many and not for them.
Right.
We mentioned my campaign. My district, as I said to you a bit before we started, is one of the most heavily Jewish districts in the country. It's got Borough Park and the Upper West Side. And I was obviously very proud to march alongside thousands of New Yorkers against anti-Semitism back in January.
Baruch Hashem.
I'm afraid
that means thank God.
Oh, well, indeed, thank God for many things.
Thank God, yes.
But, in the UK, socialism was just roundly rejected. Jeremy Corbyn was voted, was crushed in the election.
Yeah.
But his slogan was for the many, not the few. And somebody pointed out to me that when it comes to Jeremy Corbyn, this noted anti-Semite, that really his slogan should have been for the many, not the Jew.
Not the Jew.
Yeah, he's
exactly.
And you see this sort of anti-Semitic on the... And there's always been anti-Semitism on the far right, which we have to do everything to suppress and defeat. But you also see it now in the more mainstream on the left. Jeremy Corbyn was endorsed by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders.
Mm.
And you see Ilhan Omar's work, her sympathies are well known.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to defeat that on both the right and the left should be a noble goal.
Yeah. Well, we're just the canaries in the mine shaft, Dylan.
Sadly,
I mean, we're only the first they go after, usually, not always. But where Jews are in danger, everyone else is not far behind. And Christians are major targets today.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at what happened in the Middle East.
We have about 2 minutes. So
before
we continue, because I could talk to you for another hour.
Absolutely.
And I'll have you on again.
I would love to be back.
And it'll probably be by telephone and not face-to-face. Mm-hmm. So this is, I'll have to remember this in my brain. Tell everybody how they can throw a few bucks towards your campaign.
Sure.
And how they can learn more about it so they can get involved.
Sure. So if you go to my website, StevensonForCongress.com.
And thank you for listening to those CPAC interviews. It was so much fun to do. And that's about all the time we have for this edition of Spouting Off. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. And thank you to HW, the guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there will be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.